like the other day, he came home and we had some like hair paint, and he painted his hair blue, put on a leather jacket, put on some headphones, and like walked around the house listening to music. And I go, oh my gosh, he's a punk rock kid.
Welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. This is the podcast for dads of all seasons to learn the things that they can do and engage so that they can go and equip the next generation for success. Here we sit down with everyday dads just like you to learn from their story, get inspired, and then start getting after it. So we invite you to join in, see what you can take away from this story, and apply to your life on your journey to becoming a skilled dad. Hey guys, and welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. My name is Zach Reeser. I'm your host. And today on this episode, pretty convinced this beard is actually a Zoom AI feature that I just discovered. Actually, I think you've trimmed it up a little bit. You're looking fresh.
Yeah, a little less John the Baptist.
On this episode, my friend, Mr. Harrison Conley is joining me. Harrison, how are you, sir?
I'm so good, man. I'm excited for this. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on. We've been talking about it for a while. And you were just telling me about something I've never heard about. So this is a fun educational piece for anyone that is listening about the sky. Is it sky rivers? What was it called?
Atmospheric rivers.
Yeah. It sounds better than sky rivers. So you're on the West Coast, which we'll get into. But you're driving through San Diego. And for everybody out there, every time I talk to Harrison, almost every time, I feel like I've just recently heard some epic thing you're doing. Maybe you played golf at Pebble Beach or down in San Diego, going to the ballpark with the kiddos, coaching. So you're living it up out there. And now you're bringing atmospheric rivers. What is an atmospheric river for those listening?
Yeah, I'm no scientist. I found out about this on Monday night watching the Monday night football game. Apparently, I'm gonna screw this up. You should just Google it. But it's essentially a weather system that takes the shape of a river in the air, in the atmosphere. And I think it rains or it storms within the banks of that river in the atmosphere. And so anyway, it started in San Francisco on Monday night, and then it kind of moved down, you know, the coast a little bit. I'm in Orange County, so I'm about, I don't know, 7 hour drive down from San Francisco. But it started, you know, making its way down. So yeah, we've picked up the fall weather finally.
I'm going to fact check you on YouTube. No, immediately. Kidding. Immediately. All kidding aside though, we've known each other now for what, dude? 2.5 years?
Something like that.
Yeah. Has this been 2.5 years?
Yeah.
Maybe three. I don't know. It goes quick, but we've gotten to know each other pretty well over that time period. And you just mentioned it. You're living out in Orange County area, California. And you are a dad of three.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell your own story here in a second. But one of the things, too, just spending some time with Harrison is a breath of fresh air. Just being able to sit and we can talk about atmospheric rivers. And then sometimes the conversation dives into the river and you can just talk about real life stuff and walk away refreshed. So when you agreed to come on here with me, I was pumped I know some of your story, but to hear more of it and to share some of that and also some of the insights that you've taken away from your story as a dad, things you've learned from your dad, because you've got a lot of cool things going on. So if you wouldn't mind, maybe just share some about yourself, and we're just going to take this thing wherever it goes.
Oh, yeah. Born and raised in Southern California, and my parents are pastors. They started a church here in Orange County called Cottonwood Church 38 years ago, and I have been on staff for, wow, almost 20 years now, and was a youth pastor for a decade, and about 7 years ago started a transition process where to become the lead pastor. And about two and a half years ago, really stepped into that full throttle. But so that's sort of the background around what I do. But I've been married for 16 years. And my wife has given me three beautiful little boys. And I say given because I had the fun part. She did the rest. But
so true.
It is true. Yep. Yeah, three awesome little mountain men. My oldest, his name is Asher. He is 13, just turned 13 last week. So that's kind of scary. Life is changing. I've got a teenager in the house. Yeah. And then my middle son, his name is Sawyer Cash. He's 10 years old. And we couldn't decide what to call him. I wanted to name him after Johnny Cash. My wife liked Tom Sawyer. And so we accidentally reincarnated Johnny Cash and Tom Sawyer's love child. And he was he was born 150 years too late. He he's a fun kid, but he's a mountain man through and through, which is funny because he's a Southern California kid. And then our youngest, his name is Clay, and he's 5 years old. He's our little kind of surprise baby that we love so much. And he's wild, man. Like the other day, he came home and we had some like hair paint, and he painted his hair blue, put on a leather jacket, put on some headphones, and like walked around the house listening to music. And I go, oh my gosh, he's a punk rock kid. It's so funny. So like I've got a good variety. My oldest is an athlete, baseball, football, golf. My middle son is more outdoors. He loves to hunt and fish. And then my youngest, apparently is a punk rocker. So yeah.
He's bringing the 90s back.
That's right. Grunge is, it's fully back.
I don't think it ever went away. Number one, my son loves Green Day.
Oh, wow.
It'll pop up. And every single time he's like, Dad, what's this song? Who sings this? And I'm like, it's Green Day. He's like, I like this song. Every time. Uh-oh. I don't know. You know, so I guess it's the garage bands. If they ever went away, they're coming back. And so my question is, why did you have blue hair paint?
Yeah, that's a good question. We're still trying to figure that one out. Like, I'm honestly thinking that kids these days, being so technologically savvy, somehow he jumped onto our Amazon account and ordered it himself. I'm not sure. That's something I'm going to have to bring up with my wife, but I don't have an answer to that question.
You better check your Amazon invoices.
Either that or he enlisted the help of his older brothers. Yeah, I don't know.
That's amazing. Please let me know when you figure that one out so I can avoid it in my house. That's great. So 13, how old was Sawyer Cash?
10. He's 10.
10. Yeah. So you do have a little bit of that spread going on, I'm curious about Sawyer Cash. You said he reincarnated Johnny Cash and Tom Sawyer's love child, 150 years later.
Yep.
What do you do with all three of them? Do they all have a shared passion, or are you just kind of like, boys, we're just going out doing this thing?
That's a good question. I think their shared passion is just being outside. And I think we kind of rotate through. So sometimes we'll go to the sand lot by the house, and I'll throw a batting practice. And Sawyer, right, he's 10. He's athletic, but he doesn't care about sports. But yeah, having watched his older brother play sports, he wanted to play baseball this year for the first time. And it's really funny watching him because it's purely a social event. Like he's walking up to the plate and he's just waving at us, and he'll get a hit and he gets to second base and he's looking for us and he's waving, and he's like, taking ground balls at third base and he's waving at us. It's so funny. But yeah, we do stuff outside. So sometimes we go to the sandlot and I'll throw batting practice. Other times we'll go to the bow and arrow range. That's not too far from the house. And all three of them love to do that. Sometimes we go to the driving range and do golf and chip and putt. And I think just being outdoors, doing anything outdoors, kind of stirs something within them, stirs the boy within them.
Yeah. Which I love that, especially when you talk about right now going to the archery range. It's bow season here. So
check this out. So fun fact, my oldest two, so Asher and Sawyer, are with my dad right now in Montana. Every year, my dad had, for the last like 3 years, my dad has taken them up for a week, and we've got friends that live up there kind of by the Bob Marshall Wilderness, Canada border. And they go and they hunt, And I just got a text like a couple hours ago that Asher shot a big old buck. And so, nice. Yeah, so I got a picture of it. It's pretty cool.
You have to send me that. I want to see that. Is that mule deer up there?
They got all kinds of stuff. So white, I think this is a white tail, but they have, they got muleys and obviously elk and all the rest.
Last time I was up there, the closest, this was years ago, the closest I got to taking anything was a giant moose on the highway as we were trying to get to the airport. So that's awesome. So he's up there with your dad. And what's really cool is that your dad's taking him up there. I'm curious about this, like how involved, obviously taking, I have a couple questions around this, but the relationship with your dad and then almost like literally following in footsteps, even from the career path standpoint, taking over the church side of it, but then having them close. How involved is your dad and like kind of modeling your boys?
Yeah. Hopefully I can answer that. You know, I look back at my grandfather who's passed away now, but, when my dad was a teenager, my grandfather every weekend would take him, to the Sequoia, National Park, Kings Canyon National Park. It's like a 5-hour drive from here. And they would go and, camp and fly fish for 2 days. And my dad says that my grandpa would go up one side of the river one day and my dad would go down the other, and then they would flip it the next day and they wouldn't see each other all day except that night. Mm. And that's actually a really good picture of who my grandfather was. It's a good picture of who my family is. There's a real love for solace, a real love for introspection, and being outdoors. And I feel like you're really close to God when you're outdoors. You connect with God, and, you know, and I know everybody connects with God in different ways. But there's something about being outdoors. And so anyway, that continued on when I was young. My dad would take me every summer. We go backpacking and, fly fishing and all the rest. And so we've endeavored now to do that with my boys. And so even when I was young, my dad would take me and my grandfather would come, and he was getting up in age, so he couldn't necessarily, you know, do the full trail hike with us. But we'd always come back to the base camp at night to hang out with him and the rest. And so that's something we've now instilled with my boys, where myself kind of taking a hands-on lead approach, but my dad definitely being involved. Hmm. This is something my dad instilled in me. And I was thinking about this the other day, knowing I was going to come on here. My dad instilled this in me, and it's something I've endeavored to instill in my boys. And we call them the three Fs: faith, fighting, and fishing. And
tell me more.
So faith, obviously, that has to do with your relationship with Jesus. And that comes first and foremost. Jesus is above all things, before all things. In all things, he's preeminent. And I tell my boys all the time that if you can get your relationship with Jesus right, if that's front and center, everything else in life will find its place. But that's the number one thing you need to guard, is your relationship with Jesus. And so it's even kind of fun. I don't know where, you know, all the listeners will land on this. I know there's a lot of different denominations and things, but even just the other night, like my 10-year-old came to me and he was interested in being baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And so like being able to go to the scriptures with him and pray with him and to watch him like just have such a desire and an interest for those things. Like I feel like, okay, cool. We're instilling faith in them. And then the second one, fighting, like, you know, it's not necessarily fist fighting, but there is a part of me that wants my boys to be rough and tumble. But it's more about like, there's certain things in this life that we're going to fight for, whether that be, you know, whether that be freedom, or whether that be our family, whether that be where we fight to keep our word when we give it. You know, we fight injustice. You know, my boys are, well, my oldest is in junior high, the other two are in elementary school. And before they get out of the car every day, I always go like, make sure you're looking out for those kids that get picked on. You know, that's something we're fighting for. And so we talk that's about good. That. And then fishing, definitely, you know, that hands-on fishing, I want them to know how to do it because I find such a joy and a solace in that. But more than that, it's about, having an outlet, you know, I'd say it's not just something that's like a luxury. It's a necessity to have an outlet, to have that thing that fills your tank, that fills your soul. As we all know, life can get so busy. We can get so caught up in the office and work and the drama and the dynamics with relationships that sometimes like we run on E, and that's a recipe for disaster. And so this idea of fishing or finding something, whether it's baseball or, you know, golfing with your buddies or what have you, something that refills the tank. And I want my boys to understand that it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. So those are the three things I'm trying to instill in them, but those are things that my dad instilled in me, my grandfather instilled in him.
So this is an unscripted show, but you're kind of reading from my notebook here, because here's the two questions I had just written down. What was something instilled in you, and what are you trying to instill in your boys? And then you pull out my word. So faith, fighting, fishing. We talk about fighting. You know, it's easy to stand against something. It's even harder to stand for something. And I'll tell you what, man, as my son gets just more mature and my daughter grows, and now I've got my youngest boy, if anything, protecting, providing, and preparing the kids, that's something worth fighting for. And teaching the justice piece and standing up, that's awesome, man. It's faith, fighting, and fishing. And that's cool that you're passing that on too. You know, not everyone has the opportunity to do that, but being able to have those core principles and getting around with people to find what those are that you can then promote in your own kids. And I know not everyone listening to the show is a dad yet. I know that there's moms listening to the show. I know, you know, you asked about where people stand on the religious side of things, on the spiritual side of things. We've got the whole gamut, but that faith portion is a big portion. It's a big portion for me. Obviously, it's for you. A lot of people have been on the show. The other thing, too, as far as the being on E, this conversation's come up a few times. The whole great resignation thing that's going on. It seems to be a lot of the millennial group, I believe, based on what I've seen and just different people I've talked to, but it's about chasing after that thing that is you. And sometimes when you get caught up in that system and running on E or trying to chase and please all the other things, we lose who we are. We share appreciation for the outdoors for that reason. Go and recollect yourself so that you can know who you are, so you know what you stand for. I love that, man. Faith, fighting, and fishing.
Yeah. Well, even like to your point you're making, like, again, I'm a Christian. Jesus is first and foremost in my life. And when you like trace back the roots of my faith, we trace back the roots of Christianity. In the early days, there was what's called the Desert Fathers. And they were famous. They're called the Desert Fathers because they would get away. They would go out into the desert and they would hide away for a little while. And it wasn't with the purpose of escaping the world around them. It was so that they could come back and make a difference in the world. And it just goes to show, like, you can't be effective when you're running on E.
I like that. Desert Fathers. What, in the time that you've had with the boys as they've been growing up, what's one of the things that's challenged you as we go and find ourselves? And then when the kiddos come, sometimes that person that we were can metamorphosize, if that's a real word, and change, right? Some different things click, oftentimes. And then who we are has changed, and we go and have some new challenges maybe we didn't expect. I'm curious, because you're a very wise guy. Very, very steady guy.
And a wise guy.
A wise guy. But, you know, what are some of those things that have kind of challenged you that you've learned from that do you think maybe be beneficial for others to learn from your story?
Oh, man.
Zinger.
Yeah, no kidding. And I'm not sure if I can answer this the right way or the way you wanted me to, but I would just say, like, when kids come around, you got to become unselfish in a hurry. You don't realize how ingrained some of our selfish tendencies are until kids come around. You know, you got small kids at home. Like, we were used to having 10 to 12 hours of sleep a night, or we were used to being able to, you know, on a whim, go see a movie or go out on a date or do whatever. And that all changes because now you're responsible for these little humanoids. and you know, God's charged you to raise them. And so honestly, dude, I gotta give credit to my wife. She, I'd like to say that I changed in and of myself and I was good the moment they came. But the truth is just watching her, and she always pulled the best out of me or pushed me to be better and called me out when I was being selfish, et cetera. We were talking about this the other day in the car driving back up from San Diego, just like how grateful I was, or I am, that God has put her in my life, because we got married. I'd been 21 for 6 weeks when we got married, and, wow. I had a lot of like bad habits, and she really played a huge part in shaping me to be way more compassionate, to be way more patient, and all of these things that, you know, helped us get ready to have kids. And then once we had kids, like, she called me out on a lot of it and really helped me grow in that. So I think that's the first way I'd maybe answer that question. But like specifically some struggles that I have with the kids, man, discipline, has been really hard because each kid is unique and different, and the way you discipline one doesn't always necessarily work for the other ones. And so trying to figure that out and map that out with their personalities, man, it's been really hard. So I'm grateful. I've got a lot of like good friends that I'm like, hey, dude, my kid is driving me crazy and this is what's happening. What have you done? One particular friend comes to mind. He lives in Vancouver, British Columbia, but he's got like, I think he's got 9 kids.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. He is a man's man. But I'm like, hey, like, I'm struggling here. Like, and he gave me the best tip ever for discipline, especially for my last two, for Sawyer and for Clay, because they're like super stubborn, super strong willed. And, anything we would try and do, it seemed like it would backfire, wouldn't work. And so he gave me some like good advice, and I put that into practice, and it wasn't easy, but it's the thing that really helped the most. So yeah, leaning on other people and their advice. So,
yeah. Well, that's somewhat of what this podcast is too, is not everyone has the community or large group of people that they can tap into for some of that advice. So you know, you learn from your friend, you equip us with your learnings, and we're all, you know, going towards the same thing. So here's my other question. What is a skilled dad to you?
Oh, man.
I'm full of them tonight.
Yeah, you are. That's a tough one. And I think it's tough because we all have our different definitions of skilled.
Yeah.
Right. And I think even when we think about the word skilled, it comes right up alongside the word success. If you're skilled, you have some success in some area. And I don't know, man, I think maybe our definition of success is all wrong. Like, we put so much pressure on being perfect and raising the perfect kids and doing everything right. But the truth is, like, we're imperfect. We carry this treasure in earthen vessels, and there's just no way to be perfect in it. And so, a skilled dad to me is someone that embraces and imbibes humility, someone that leads by example, someone that's quick to say, hey, I screwed up, son. I'm really sorry. I screwed up. You know, you say it to your daughter, because I know not everybody has sons. I immediately go to boys.
Yep.
But, someone that's quick to do that. And then I think as well, something that's really important in this day and age is not just quality time spent with kids, but quantity time. I'm convinced actually that like quality time doesn't happen without quantity time. And again, it goes back to that original point of like, we got to learn to be unselfish and, you know, embrace that sense of humility. And I think that's what I would say is skilled, is we do the best that we can with the light that we got. We make sure our boys are honoring their mom. You know, we're making sure they're honoring each other, that their relationship with Jesus is good. And then I try and lead by example. You know, I want them to see me reading my Bible and hear me praying in the house, because that's something we value. And if they don't see me doing it, I don't think they would ever, you know, unintentionally just do it. So I don't know. That's me rambling, but I think that's maybe how I would form that.
No, it's great. It's funny. Every time I'm about to sit down with somebody, there's recent conversations that have popped up, and there's two things that you just said that have popped up. And I love a couple of those points that you raised. One is, my wife and I were talking about this, and that's the quantity versus quality, and balance between the two. What we were talking about was the quality time, when you take this block of time, which I think is important, right? Daddy daughter date, or, you know, intentionally taking sons to go fishing, to go golfing. I take my son, you know, we go and work on building some things so we can do the hard skills and tangible type skills where we can learn and be, just be effective in different ways. But there's a quote that I love, and I don't know if I've shared this on here or not, but if I have, deja vu. Tell me and I'll forget. Teach me and I'll remember. Involve me and I'll learn.
Okay.
And that was Benjamin Franklin. But the quantity and the lessons sometimes happen more so in the off unintentional times than just that time where, when I find myself, when I make a block for my daughter, like, it's a good time. Good time. It's meant to be that way. Teaching some of the skills and opportunities for humility and being able to lead by example happen in the unscripted times.
Yeah. And I don't think it always has to be like this huge event where, like, we take them fishing, we take them whitewater rafting, we're outdoors, you know. Like, I think it can be as simple as, like, hey, we're going to watch a movie together, or, hey, we're going to cook dinner together. Like, one of the best investments we bought this year was a ping pong table.
Yes.
And it's kind of ridiculous, because my boys, like, they started not so good, but now they've watched hours of YouTube videos on how to be better. And I have to play really well to beat them, but we spend hours playing ping pong in the garage, and it's fun. And we create games. Like, somebody listening to this is not going to like this, but we create a game. I don't know why we call it this. We call it Polish ping pong, where you rally to five, and then whoever loses the point has to take their shirt off and stand at the side of the table, and the other person hits the ping pong ball at them.
Is that historically accurate? Is that why you named it that way?
I don't know. It's just what came out.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's not this big, huge event, but I know my boys will never forget that stuff.
Yeah. You know? No, they won't. Especially the name of it. So
yeah. That's good.
When you're talking about going out and being outside and then having the quality time with the kids, the other big part of it, and I know this one doesn't apply to everyone listening, but the team effort with your wife. So when we're diving in to be with our kids, and then also getting in together, as especially when you're outnumbered, a tag team event, being able to maintain that relationship with, what are some of the things that you do with your wife to help that part stay strong? That you found have been really good for you guys.
We usually, once the boys are in bed, we spend the next couple hours together, either whether it's just chatting and talking about what happened during the day, or us watching a show together and just kind of being together. We're at an age, not us, our boys are at an age now, too, where we can leave the younger two with the older, you know, and we go, like, we can go out on dates, you know, in the general vicinity. We don't want to be too far away. Sure. But he's super responsible, and he's at that age now where he can kind of, you know, take care of them and they won't die. So, important. You know, we're able. Yeah. Yeah. So we're able to do that, because for a while, like, we couldn't afford to always have a babysitter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my parents don't live too far, but they've got busy schedules, and, you know, her parents, you know, live quite a ways away. And so it's just not always easy or convenient, again, or financially, you know, relevant for us to be able to do it. So now we're in that place where we can have our dates in that time and be intentional together. So I think we try and do stuff like that.
Yeah. It's important to do intentionality amongst all the other things that are going on. That team effort is really important. I know for a while, for my wife and I, we got so focused on the other things that was a part. It was more of, it was very effective with efficiencies and the partnership element. But there's the other part that you have to make sure to maintain and foster, which is that spark. Because in time, when the kiddos are gone, it's just going to be the two of you, right? Sure that's rocking and rolling. So that's good. All right. Well, if we circle back to the beginning of the conversation, your parents had started this church. This is not a small church that you've got going on over there. So to follow in our dad's footsteps, many of us, you know, that's something that we want to do or look to do. And then in your scenario, actually taking over the church, that's a big transition. Some people might be taking over the family business. Some people might be taking over whatever it might be, but that's a different kind of dynamic. How's that been for you in being able to learn from your dad, some of the things that maybe he taught you that then you took and you applied, and now you're in the driver's seat?
Yeah, I don't think transition's ever easy. And again, my only construct is the church world. Maybe in, you know, the public sector or whatever, it might be a different animal. But people ask me all the time, so how'd the transition go? How's it going? And I always quote Charles Dickens, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. and that's the truth. Like, transition is difficult, and it takes two people that want to transition. I try and always imagine myself being in issues, because in terms of the church, like, he prayed it into existence. He birthed it. He put in hard yards for 30 plus years. Right. Like, And then now his baby, if you will, although, you know, to clarify, the church belongs to Jesus. It's his church, but you know, we're co-laborers with him. Just put that out there as a preface.
It's out there.
But, you know, it's his baby in a lot of ways, and he's given his life to it. And to suddenly, hand stuff off. And I say suddenly, but it wasn't suddenly. It was a 7-year process. Which I said to him the other, a few months ago, we were sitting down, and I said, hey, this whole transition took way longer than I would have wanted. But in retrospect, it was probably the healthiest thing for us and for the church. Transition is like a dance. I'll say it like that. And the truth is, as you dance, you're going to step on each other's feet and step on each other's toes. And it got bad a few times. We had a few knockdown, drag out fights where he wasn't happy with some of the direction I was wanting to go. And I wasn't happy because I'd be in a meeting saying something, and then, you know, everyone would turn and look at him, and I'm like, hey, you can't come to these meetings anymore. You know,
well, my GD's watching. Core values. So you were living that out.
Yeah. So we had to kind of create this language, right? So if transition's a dance, when we'd get frustrated with each other, I'd say, don't shoot the DJ. Because like, as long as the DJ's still standing, we can keep dancing. You know, and so ultimately what it boiled down to was we said, hey, we're going to stick with this, because if we can somehow do it right, maybe, just maybe, it can be our church's gift to the body of Christ. Because when you look at, again, the church landscape, transition doesn't happen well. It hardly ever happens. Guys hold on way longer than they should. The young guys coming in, they don't honor the predecessor. They immediately just cut ties and go, we're going in a completely different direction. And so you just don't see many examples. And so my dad and I kind of buckled down and went, you know, as hard as this is, we're going to stick it out so that perhaps this could be our gift to the body of Christ. And now our relationship's better than it's ever been. Maybe here's a thought for those that are transitioning, again, not just in the church world. Maybe this applies elsewhere, but, my dad, you know, he came to the conclusion pretty quick what his next season was going to be. But my mom, her whole identity had been wrapped up in the church, you know, for 30 plus years. And all of a sudden, everything's shifting and everything's changing. And there's new lines of communication and authority, et cetera, kind of a new direction for vision points. And suddenly she's like really struggling, like, where do I fit in all this? And that was something we really had to navigate. And my mom's awesome. She like genuinely prayed her way through it and has been our biggest cheerleader along the way. But I know it's been really hard for her. And so maybe there's somebody that's listening that's going through transition, just a relationship you might want to be thinking about. The dynamic doesn't just affect the boss that you're transitioning with, but as well the spouse of the boss as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. Looking not just at the main focus and the aperture, but what's around it and how it impacts everyone. My family, my grandfather started a business, and then he had it running for 25 years, and then my dad had helped build that for the latter portion of those years. Then my aunt and uncle came in and started building that too. And then eventually transitioned off from my grandfather to the kids. But similar dynamic, I think when anytime you've got one methodology and it was built on certain things, you transition into new ideas and new concepts, and there's friction. Yeah. And the impact around all that. So I think that could apply to a lot of different areas.
Yeah, it's hard. You gotta build a bridge to the past, but at the same point, somehow go, it's a new day. And that's not always easy to do. And it takes a lot of open conversation. It takes a lot of humility on both sides, and willingness to kind of cede. It takes, a lot of patience and a lot of honor. Honestly, that's the biggest thing is, I've really done my best to honor my dad. And I've learned this, that honor is not honor unless the person you're trying to honor feels honored. Because a lot of times we think we're honoring them, but if they don't feel honored, then it's not really honor. And so just trying to figure that out. And my dad feels honored when he gets included in a conversation and he's allowed to put his voice on something. And so I've just learned that now, anytime I feel like God is saying something to me about the vision, direction of the church, I'll go and I'll just process with him. Not that I'm looking for his affirmation or looking for him to give me the A-okay, but I go, Dad, let me get your voice on this. Help me refine this. And he feels honored in that, you know?
I love that. Honor is not honor unless the person feels honored. Yeah. Intentions don't always land.
Yeah, no, they don't.
No, that's really good. No, I appreciate that. I just know you've got some of that dynamic in your story. And I do know some people that are listening that have some transitions like that, that have either gone on or going on and may not be through that 7-year phase that you were in. So to understand that there's others that have done that, to understand some things and dynamics that go along with that, may not feel so foreign or isolating if that's going on. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
Last question I've got for you. If you've got a guy that's listening now that could be early on in their parenting or even midway through, like you and I, you're a little further along than I am. What are three things that you would encourage them with or pass on to them? Faith, fighting, and fishing.
I think number one, it takes a village. So don't try and raise your kid in a vacuum. Again, I'm a big proponent of the local church. So if there's a way you can get your young person, your kid plugged into community at church, or you have a group of friends at church and you guys all kind of raise your kids together, that's massively helpful and important. So you're not feeling like you're doing it in a vacuum and you're isolated trying to raise kids. We need each other. And that's true. Oh man, I wish you would have given me forewarning. I would have had three really good ones here. Number two, I would say try and lead your family with as much authenticity as you can. In that you're not called to be your kid's best friend. you're called to be their parent. And there's a huge difference. There are moments where my boys and I, we hang out and we're like best buds. But there is discipline and there are lines and there are boundaries. And we need to be the ones as the parents that set those and lead from a place of authenticity there and call it out. Hey, buddy, you crossed the line here. Like, this is not who we are as a family. My famous saying to my boys is, hey, what's your last name? And they'll tell me and I'll go, okay, who are we? And they have to, you know, repeat some of the stuff that I would say in the house, because I just want to drill into them like, hey, these are the things that we stand for. These are the things that define us. And then from a place of authenticity, I'm going to call it out if you're not doing that, and we're going to address it and then we're going to move forward together. And then number three, yeah, I don't know. Give yourself a break. Take a deep breath and just realize that you're not going to be perfect. None of us are going to be perfect. And when we make a mistake, let's own it and let's move forward. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And that scripture is actually in the context of family. And so it's just this idea of, man, I'm going to do the best that I can. But at the end of the day, like, God, I'm enlisting your help and I'm going to need you to guard and protect my kids' hearts along the way here. And when I screw up, I'm going to own it. And then we're going to move forward together. But I think just try and give yourself a little bit of a break. Don't be so hard on yourself. None of us are perfect.
That's a big one right there. Part of the reason I like to ask that question is that you talked about number two being authentic and authenticity. Sometimes yeah. Those first things that come out there, those are authentic, right? So,
yeah,
that's yeah. Good, man.
Yeah. And I think too, like realizing we all come from different backgrounds. And maybe I'll just add this, you know, some of us come from backgrounds where there was abuse in the home. And we get real down on ourselves if we kind of follow some of the same patterns. And the truth is like, we don't have to live in a generational curse. And I think sometimes we call it out for what it is and we endeavor to get help so that we can get past some of those things so that we don't do the same thing to our kids that our parents maybe did to us. And just kind of take that for what it's worth. Some people, their experience has been horrific. And maybe they didn't have a dad. And so their natural tendency is to sort of be absentee with their kids. You don't have to be that. You don't have to follow that same example. You can be the father that you didn't have. And again, I think that's when it goes back to this whole thing. Like, it takes a village and we got friends that come in. I got a bunch of buddies that my boys call uncle. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense. I didn't do the best job articulating that, but I just want to encourage people, like, You're not your parents and you don't have to be. Take the good stuff. But then as well, like, you can make choices that affect the future. You know, and you're not stuck and locked into previous, you know, hurts and things of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense, man. And part of this podcast and people I've talked to that continue to listen to it, what I love about it is it's a group of people and continues to grow of people saying, I either want to learn more. I don't necessarily know what to do. And that could be because dad wasn't around during the time. Yeah. They weren't taught that, or dad was around and dad wasn't taught that. I had a big discussion on that very thing with someone a couple weeks ago. And he was saying, you know, my dad tried, but he wasn't taught those things. And so we're all going out to define and learn that skilled dad piece, and not doing it alone is the premise of this, and learning from each other in a community, if you have one or if you don't. But it's the desire to go and fight to be the best we can, whether we're following in certain footsteps or we're actually trying to walk away from certain footsteps so we can change that.
Yeah, I love it.
Makes a lot of sense, Ben. Brother, thanks for getting on here with me and spending a little time and taking some time out of your evening to have a nice little chat and conversation here.
Oh, my pleasure, man. I love it.
Hey, for those that are out there that may not be going to a church for a variety of reasons, but you're interested and just looking and checking something out, go check out Harrison on YouTube. It's Cottonwood Church, right?
Yep. Cottonwood Church. Cottonwood.org.
Cottonwood.org. He's dynamic, and this man knows the word and can just bust it out. But really, the study and background and knowledge, even if you're curious, go check it out. You can do it from YouTube, comfort of your home. Leave that with you. At the end of the day, we all make our choices in what we want to do, but that would be a great opportunity to go and see Harrison and see what they've got going on out there in California with their atmospheric rivers.
Oh, thanks, man.
Thanks again, brother.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I really enjoyed having you on. Hey, everybody, if you made it to this point, we really appreciate you sitting through this conversation with Harrison and I. And man, I love the three things that were instilled that Harrison shared with us that he's now looking to instill with his boys: faith, fighting, and fishing. Here's my question to you. What are the things that either were instilled in you that you can replicate, that you want to replicate, or maybe they weren't, but you want to take that step and find the things that you want to instill in your boys or your girls moving forward? And it all starts with realizing it ain't going to be perfect, but don't let perfectionism slow you from actually doing it and just going after it. We'd love to hear your feedback. You can go to theskilleddad.com to learn more information, provide some feedback. We appreciate you joining on. If you know someone that comes to mind after this conversation, please share it with them. The biggest thing we're looking to do is help equip others with stories of others so that they can apply to their own lives on their journey to becoming the skilled dad. We'd love for you to subscribe, join us in this podcast. But again, the most important thing is that you take away something that you can apply on your journey to becoming the skilled dad.